This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
Well, I probably didn't do justice to the introduction of what you do in your ministry. And so there's a lot of people who do know you, have known you over the years, but it's been several years since you've been in Hutchinson. And so it's actually been a whirlwind of a trip.
Yes.
You just got in last night. I heard yesterday was quite stressful.
We almost didn't make it, honestly, because we flew into Washington, D.C., and my son, he read that there were 1,500 flights canceled and people sleeping on the floors. And we had a flight scheduled. We could fly to Des Moines, but we're going to have to rent a car to go to our car rental in Kansas City. And it's just, we're so thankful. There was a lady that took mercy on us and was able to get us in a hotel. And we had a very successful time, but boy, there were other people we just felt bad for. And I don't think I want to fly very much in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're so thankful that you're here with us. And so for those who maybe need a reminder of your work and what you do, and those of you who are new and just would love to hear your heart, but just kind of telling your own words, your ministry in North Carolina.
Well, first, I would just want to say, too, I'm really impressed with this guy. Isn't he amazing? Yes. And I can't wait to meet your family, your wife, Julie.
Yeah.
Julia, right there. There we go. Look,
any guy who marries a Julia.
Are they taking notes or are they coloring? That's okay. But I've just been really impressed. And I told Ron that when the cat's away, the mice will play. So Phil, if you're listening, we just want to have a wonderful time. And I do want to give you a good snapshot as to what God is doing in Chapel Hill in the community. And it was called the Research Triangle Park there in North Carolina among international students, especially Chinese. God has just blessed this community with the churches, the people that want to reach out. There are so many Asians that we work with, that we know, and they're just such a wonderful group of people. COVID, like most of you know, has set back a lot of things. So we're trying to get that back in full swing, and some of them are reluctant to want to meet face to face, but I think we're coming out of that. Our English classes, that's where my strength has been. I consider that my fishing pool. And I tell people that if God can use a donkey to speak to Balaam, he can use me to teach scholars English. I was an art major and basketball player, and so go figure that, how God is able to do something like that.
So tell us a little more about what, maybe like you said, a snapshot of ministry. How what does that look like to minister to international students? What does that look like on a ground basis?
Well, I had an experience years ago where I spent 2 years in East Africa, and Julie was a French and German major, and she spent some time in Canada, was preparing to go to France. And it just, there's something that we call rapport. Not everybody feels comfortable interacting with internationals, but that's just something that came natural to us. When I go to church, I'm kind of looking around, and if I see a Chinese person or something, I want to go over there and make sure they know that they've been welcomed. Hey, listen, I have this English class on Friday nights, and I often ask, how much did you understand of the message? Oh, about 70%. That's the average, 70 to 80%. Some much more, some a lot less. And so I say, on Sunday mornings, we have a sermon review class that goes on, and people can actually take those notes and help you understand what the pastor is talking about. So it's just been something that God has called us to. It's a natural identification that we love the internationals. And
how long have you been doing that?
Well, since we were married, 35 years.
Wow.
So I've been teaching English in that one facility, and it's just been great. The Chapel Hill Bible Church, where we worship, and we're so grateful for the people there. There are many Chinese that are residents. They're not just students here, and it is a rich community. And I'm humbled to be a part. They thank us, and they're really excited. We're very thankful. We have an adopted daughter from China that many of them say, oh, she's so lucky. But we said, no, we're the lucky ones. We're blessed. And it just gives us a greater identification with the culture, and we just hope to be able to go back.
A rough estimate, how many international students would you say is in that triangle that you're talking about?
I read some time ago about 300,000 in the state. So it's concentrated where the universities are, because we're, like I said, we're only 20 minutes from Duke, and then NC State is about 45, and we're at UNC Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill is strong in the health sciences, and of course Duke's a private institution that has a lot of things going on, and NC State was agriculture. So it kind of meets the gamut for every group that's there. So,
so you're probably talking about tens of thousands just in that
oh,
area,
yes, yeah.
Easily, right?
More you can shake a stick at, my dad would say, but... you know, we can't begin to touch the whole, whole group, but there are a lot of international workers, a lot of Americans that have this passion. And of course, there are some cults that are also aware of the potential too. So we just try to love them and show them the love of Christ. And by teaching English, that's what I tell my kids. If you can teach someone English, basic English skills, you can go anywhere in the world and have a ministry. And I would encourage you to do that here, because I'm sure you don't have as many Chinese, but you do have people that are in need of that, whether Hispanic or, we don't know. We were in Washington, D.C., and we met five Ethiopians that were serving us, and it's just a whole Ethiopian community there. You know, the United States still is a melting pot in many ways.
Yeah. So you teach English classes. That's how you get connected with some of these students?
Yes, that and yard sales. No. But I think it's been over time. We've just, we've been in one location for so long, and that's what we want to do. We first met Crestview and came here, we were ministering at the University of Oklahoma. And from there, we moved back to North Carolina, where all our parents were. And we really wanted to put roots down deep so we could minister in that way, have long-term relationships, and just because ministry lends itself to generations and connections, and you find that especially with international students, that you like, it's like pulling a string of a friend, and their friends come or their family comes, and we do have Indian friends when we go visit New York City. It's amazing to see how God has given us opportunities to learn from them and spend time with them, but the international community is just it's very rich, and we're very thankful for that.
So you have a clear calling to go to the international students, not just the general student body, which is probably numbering in the hundreds of thousands when you include all these campuses. But so why specifically would you say, like, man, we really want to invest in international? What is the great opportunity that is there among international students that you feel called to those specifically?
Well, I'll share a quote that someone said, a lady that was in our church, she's Korean, but she's, you'd think of her more of as American, but she said, among the Korean community, if you want to have programs for your children, you go to the American church, but if you want people to talk to you, you go to the Korean church. So it's kind of an indictment as to, I would say that's a strong word, but to say that sometimes Americans don't feel comfortable just going up and getting to know someone like that, but that's really, it's such an opportunity, and especially they may not go back, but they have friends and relatives that will travel and go back. So in a way, we just see we have an opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission by just the people that come to this English class. As soon as the pandemic started, we were meeting with them through Zoom meetings and back in their country. And it's just that's where we want to focus and think about the returnees, the faculty, the ones who are there and going back and staying or coming back, make frequent trips here.
Yeah, right. So they're coming to the campus from international. They get to hear the word, maybe even hear the gospel for the very first time, hear about Jesus for the first time.
Yes.
For some people, and then after 4 years, 5 years, they go back, or they can speak to relatives who are there. And so this is really a, even though it's centered in here in the U.S., it has a global impact. You could share a story of maybe an individual or two where that has happened, where they can bring the gospel back to their native place.
Well, I think one of the primary stories I think of is Pentecost, and how that was a religious event. And, these people are drunk. No, they're not. There were 15 people groups that were in Jerusalem at that time, and when they went back to the countries, that's kind of what we see here in America. There's a modern-day Pentecost that's happening, that people are coming here now, not just America. They could go to Europe and all over. And some of the numbers have been reduced in the last year or so, and we don't know if that's a trend or whatever, but God continues to bring people here. And these are sharp individuals. And I don't know if you've been watching the news, some of the things that had been, we don't understand all. I just know that God has given me an opportunity to befriend the foreigner who resides among us. And that's one of the three people groups that God places a high priority on. There's widows, orphans, and foreigners or aliens that we think of. And we just feel like it's a wonderful opportunity for us and for our children. Our own kids understand how to relate to internationals because that's all they've done in many years, like your kids.
Yeah, you know. And in East Asia, a lot of those places are closing foreign workers to come there.
Yeah.
But here's an opportunity where they're coming to us. So while God maybe shuts the door of us going there, they're coming to us.
And we are reminded it's God's work. It's not just David and Julie's. It's what he's called us to. He's going to bring the people. When we did go back to adopt Jubilee, we had opportunity to visit with like three generations of people came to Beijing and met us for dinner one night. And one lady, Julie, had a direct response and direct relationship and spent a lot of time with her. The lady was just a clear evangelist. Amazing how she just was so excited. She even told her Taiwanese employers about this. So she worked at a Chinese restaurant. And so as she came to visit us, she had to ride the train 8 hours to meet us in this restaurant. We had 4 hours with her. She got back on the train and rode 8 hours home because she had to work the next day. That is a love demonstration that I don't know many people are willing to pay and willing to do. Because she said, I don't care where you are. If you're in China, I'm coming to see you.
There are a lot of these international students, they might come with struggles, with issues, just needs that they have. What would you say, is there any kind of a common pattern or common need among the struggles and needs that international students have that you go and you try to address?
Thank you, that's a good question. I think a lot of times they have the same struggles that we do, but then they are very particular about how they reflect on their parents. They take that very seriously, their country, their education, or their government, for one thing. And I think we just try to come alongside, and that's what our English class does, is I offer, maybe you guys know of Barbara and Dennis Rainey and their ministry of family life. Well, I've used some of their devotional materials when it's appropriate, but just not anything that's too heavy with the gospel to push, but basically you're talking about relationships, marriage relationships, how do I, communication, how do I work with my children? And a lot of times the Chinese find that that's so different than their culture. And so it takes a little bit of doing. And I was on a Zoom call with a gentleman that we would meet each week, and he said he thought it was best to let his son make his own decisions growing up. And I stopped and I said, now, friend, I called him by name. I said, you know, you certainly can do whatever you want. But I said, one of the things we've learned, we studied in the scriptures, is that we can't just assume whatever they want to learn. We have to be proactive and to help them. He said, oh, no, I can't do that. I have to give him. I said, but do you realize what you're doing? You're removing the opportunity that you have for influence in his life, that one day he may not listen to you. Because we have been contacted. I remember one home we went to, the mother invited us over, and she was concerned because she started smelling the marijuana on her son. He was 16 years old. And she said, you got to help me get his attention. I want to change. I said, with all due respect, we'll do what we can, but it may be too late. Because a lot of these Asians, a lot of the internationals, the children they have when they're here, they have a foot in two cultures. They want to please their American friends, and they have to please those at home. They have to maintain some level of communication or language ability so they can communicate with the grandparents. There's a lot of pressure on them. And so that is worth sitting down and really studying to understand what are the pressures these kids are facing? Because if you minister to the kids, you can minister to the adults too, because they're all about that.
Yeah.
You know, they're really concerned about that.
Yeah. So taking that, right, taking some of these needs, this pressure that they have, some of the issues that they're going through, and maybe that's, you know, some of you here in the room maybe feel that, the pressure of life, the pressure that is there. What do you say? What's the hope of Christ that you give to these students, or even maybe to some of us here in the room? What hope do you give to us?
Well, there is no hope apart from Christ. You know, I mean, you can, it's like I shared with the youth over there. I had a, Ron helped me and Stephen get a branch from the grapevine, I think yesterday morning, and we cut that off. But a week ago when I talked to Ron, I think before he came to church, he said Don was putting a shoe on his foot while he was talking to me on the phone. He went out and cut another one. And so I showed the grapevine to the kids, and then I reached in the bag and I pulled, well, this one was cut a week ago. And when you see the difference, it really gets attention, because you see, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. You know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me, remains steadfast, or just continues on, abides, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, my dad was quite a gardener. He'd come home with a plant for my mom, and she'd say, okay, I want it over there. And she'd bring him a cup of coffee later on, and he would take the clippers, he would plant it, and then he'd cut it way back. And she'd say, Pete Stickle, you killed it! And he said, oh, honey, no, I didn't. And he said, where do you think the energy of this plant's going to go? What do you mean? He said, well, if you cut the leaves off, he said, I don't want to kill it, but it's going to force the energy to the roots. Because without the roots, there are no fruits. And I said, wow, Dad, that'll preach. That dog will hunt. But it was really true that with all of us, we have to recognize that if you don't have the root structure, and he's going to ask me one of the questions I think we talked about before was, how can you pray for us? Well, pray for depth for our family, that we would put roots deep down into Christ. You know, Colossians 2, 6, and 7 talks about to be rooted in Christ, built up, overflowing with thankfulness. And we really desire that. You know, we don't take it for granted that we, you know, we've been doing this for over 30 years, but that doesn't mean nothing. You know, the enemy has a target on our backs just like he does you. So we really want to be faithful, and we want to do what we can to minister and to call these people out and allow, you know, the Lord to work. We have no idea where they're going to be in future generations. So
there's an importance that you need to be rooted in Christ, right? That you need to be abiding in him, because I'm sure there are challenges, there are obstacles, there are struggles as you try to interact and reach out. What are some of those challenges that, and those obstacles, those barriers that you consistently come up against that we can be partnering in prayer for you about?
Thank you. That's a wonderful question, and bears worth reflection, because, you know, if you look at your own life, you know, we struggle with that. We struggle with the concept of time and being able to focus on the most important things and to give ourselves to that which is eternal. I think for us, in the immediate future, is that we have kids going different places, as he referred to, an empty nest. We do have one, our youngest daughter from China. She's starting her junior year. And so we just pray for her as she adjusts. We have our middle child, she's going to be going, or excuse me, our middle daughter, not the middle child, but the middle daughter is going to, Zimbabwe and Mozambique, thank you, for 6 months to volunteer in an orphanage, two orphanages there. So, you know, she's never been away from us that much. And so it's going to be, you know, eye-opening for her. And we want for safety, and but, you know, it's time to fly that nest and to open our hands and let them go. Someone once challenged me, said, David, you know, you're homeschooling. It's going to be really hard for you to say goodbye to your kids one day. And I said, well, is there anything wrong with that? Yeah, it's going to be tough, but we love them. You know, it's not like we're saying, lose the kids, get them out of here. You know, we want to get on with their lives. they are much a part of our lives. You know, we just thank the Lord for allowing us to have that experience that we can invest in their lives and see them, because they are very involved in their own life groups mm-hmm. at church. It's not something we pushed them into, and that's very rewarding, because they also, like ourselves, we are involved in life group. That is critical. A week ago, we met, and there were some issues that came up, and I told Julie later on, you couldn't do that through Zoom, because there was some real sharing face-to-face, and it was so meaningful. And I encourage you, if you have considered a life group where you can, and all that is a small group, and you don't have to have it organized through the church, you can start it yourself. And why would you do that? Why would you take time out of your busy schedule? Because you need it, they need it, y'all need it. You know, At first I kind of thought, well, I kind of like my Sunday evenings free. And there's spiritual warfare that kind of goes on. It mm-hmm. says, I don't want to do that. Oh, I'd rather, you know. But that is the enemy, or that's our laziness, or our feelings of, I don't want to put myself out there. But that's where real life is lived out. And when you develop that true relationship with people, and you share your hearts, and you open yourself up, whether it be criticism, or you know, you're walking beside someone, it's a very healthy thing. And I just really recommend that. If you feel that you're at a point where you're just kind of high-centered and you don't, I'm not really experiencing a lot of joy, reach out to somebody. And it's amazing how God begins, because we all need that. You know, an unexamined life is a dangerous life, as one said. And I really think that's true. You know, so.
Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We need to hear that. I need to hear that a lot of times. But there is that spiritual battle that's going on. That's mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I'd rather just have a restful evening. But then.
Well, we do need the restful evenings, but yet sometimes we make excuses. Well, I don't want to do any of that. You know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. You mentioned, you know, your children and these five kids, and I'm sure they were much a part of the work. As you are, as you and Julie are, and so maybe some of our students are wondering, man, sometimes it feels like that's just my parents' ministry, that's my parents' work, mm-hmm. Or maybe it's the parents are thinking, well, I have to make time for my family, and sometimes we make this either or, like family or ministry.
Yeah.
Tell us how maybe that was one for you, it wasn't a separation.
Well, I don't know if this totally answer your question, but what popped in my mind is when we got ready to adopt Jubilee, we were praying about going, and it's September, and on my birthday, we're going to fly in October to go get her. It's a whole year process or more, and someone, you know, we from day one said we're going to take the whole family. That means six going, seven coming back with the child, and we said, well, if we have to, we'll break the bank or whatever, but this is not just an exchange student. This is someone we really want our family to experience. Now, we could have just gone together, and some families do, and that's fine. But we had a conviction. Julie, from the very beginning, said, nope, we want the kids to go too. Okay. So someone, some close friends, contacted me on my birthday, September 25th, and said, we want to help you with your trip. And I said, well, what does that look like? And he said, well, one thing, we have some frequent flyer miles we want to offer you. And someone in the church had offered that before. He said, I've got 60,000. That'll get you one round-trip ticket. But I didn't know it at the time, that if you don't have all of them coming from one source, you could have three people going on a flight and two people going on. It's just very confusing. And I said, well, thank you very much. But, you know, there are six of us going, 60,000 miles per person. You can do the math, 360,000. His reply, no problem, David. We've got 500,000 saved up. They're all yours. And I looked at the phone, and I remember going, God, are you doing something here? And I put the phone up here, and he said, but there's a problem. There's always a problem, you know. He said, they're U.S. Air miles. I don't think U.S. Air serves China. I said, I don't think so either. Well, let me make a phone call. I'll call right back. So 10 minutes later, he calls back, and I said, this is not going to work, is it? He said, yes. He said, United will accept the miles because they fly. And that's how we did. We flew from RDU, Philadelphia, San Francisco, got a United flight, flew bulkhead overseas, came back the same way. Unbelievable. And what that was is God could have had someone write out a check. We could have taken our savings. He could have made it. But the fact that he did it this way, to our kids especially, and to the Chinese community, to see that tangible way that God worked, it blew us all away. It's just, I mean, the whole process did it. So, like George Sanchez told me years ago, he was Julie's boss for the Navigators, he'd never in his family made major decisions based on finances alone. He says, not David, not that I don't take into consideration some of this, that, you know, all the ramifications. He said, but you may limit God from really working. That doesn't mean you mortgage your house, you do all this stuff and make bad decisions. But he said, that's something that they, and so we adopted that. If that's the case, God, we're going to let you have a chance to do what you want to do. And, yeah. And he gets the glory for it. My goodness, he did it. And I'm so thankful that this man did not drag his feet and keep his family from doing it. Because she and my oldest daughter prayed us into that. But they were saying, God, you have to move in David's heart. We're not going to force it because, you know. And I think a lot of men are hesitant because they feel, I don't want to overwhelm us. And we already have 4 biological kids. And we have, you know, we're older and all this stuff. God can work through that. So,
yeah. There's another part of the ministry that you have, not just with international students, but Julie has another ministry that you said, man, I want to be able to share this with Crestview. So give me the platform to do that. So this is now your opportunity to share what
I'd like
Julie's
to ask her
part.
To come up because you need to hear from her. Come here.
Let us hear from the horse's mouth.
Horse?
Oh. Oh, come here, sweetie. This is my bride.
Well, I always knew that when the kids were grown, I was a homeschool mom, so that's why you haven't seen me much. I was at home engrossed in those things. And so David, I think it's been about 10 years since I've come, but it's wonderful to see you. And I was looking through my notes. If anybody remembers Phyllis Ebers, she says hi. Anybody remember? I was trying to remember. Anyway, but I think... I want to be really careful how I say this, but I've heard some wonderful things this morning. Oh my goodness, and it just reminds me what a mutual relationship this is. That I expected us to come and update you all because you've been so faithfully involved with us for so many years, but I've been blessed amazingly by some of the conversations I already had. I bumped into some of you with hearts for some of the things that God's been stirring in my heart. Our church has started to try, the reason I'm trying to be careful is I know about a vote last week that some people are pleased with, some people aren't regarding the status of abortion and pro-life in this state. And I have some strong convictions, but what God's allowed me to develop is new strengths. And I was telling the kids in the youth group too that we were talking about how design and desire. Well, suddenly I've discovered I have networking skills. I have skills I will get up in the morning and go, oh, I'll send that email about something that encourages life, pro-life. And the vision we have is not anti-something stands. I don't want to offend anyone, but it is life. God has created life, and we as a church can make it possible a way where people think there's no way. And so what is exciting to me this morning was to talk with the people who have experience with fostering. Mm. And then I heard that somebody in the church is getting experience with doing ultrasounds. You know, I've been trying to share hope with people that I encounter because they don't even know their options. They think the only thing I can do is somehow take care of this quickly in this only way I know, which is abortion. But no, there are options. But how do you communicate it? How do you get the word out there? So our church has started something that that Jess had told me that they are familiar with is we as a church have the resources. The government doesn't have to do it. We can help with support those families that are fostering. We can support those people that are adopting. We can give respite care. We can do things. And so I'm really excited to further that in our church. Our church has started that. And I've been working with Students for Life, and they are out there. They're saying, we stand with that woman. We're not condemning anybody. We love you. We have the love of Christ. Christ can make a way where there are things that are impossible. You know, we've seen that in our lives, haven't we? Christ can do it. Amen. And we want you to come to know Christ through this painful process in your life, this painful episode, this challenge. But a challenge is an opportunity, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so I see hope. I don't ever see condemnation. In fact, I know a relative of ours that I'm always trying to be careful with to communicate. You know, there are Bible studies. In fact, you might not be aware of this. 4 out of 10 women in most churches, or in the church in general, evangelical churches, have probably had an abortion. You know, there are hurting people in the pews. We have Bible studies. There's healing. Even if it's 30 years ago, God doesn't want people in pain. So, I go on and on, don't I? Then we started this at Ron and Don's last
night. Please keep going.
So I am kind of passionate about this, but you know, it was the word I was trying to find out. Somebody looked at me and said, "You are a networker." And I thought, oh, I do have that gift. I didn't know I had that gift. So, you know, even as you go through life, you're going to have different gifts. And that was something I wanted to share with the kids. You might not know what your gifts are, and they might change as you get older. So, you know, the Chinese have long been known for their required abortions in their country. But, you know, there was one young woman who was brave enough to give birth to our daughter. She gave birth in a country where you are penalized for having, and you really give up and it's usually the daughters you're going to abort. I don't know if it was her second child, and so she had to give her away. We don't know any of the story, but boy, are we blessed. We have this phenomenal 19-year-old now in our home. And I think, you know, and it's complicated. I know it's complicated, but God has all the resources in the world, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. So,
And thanks for sharing about that hope of Christ that we can give to people who are hurting, who are broken, because, you know, some might be disappointed about what's happened this week in the state of Kansas, but my hope is they didn't outlaw Christianity. They didn't outlaw us preaching the gospel like they have in many other countries around the world. So we still can share the hope of Christ, and that's the good news, right? The good news is not legislature. The good news is that Jesus comes and brings peace and hope and forgiveness and reconciliation. And so we get to share that to everyone around us. So, and you're doing that, and that's great.
We're trying. So we pray and pray and pray. That's the main thing we do. And then worship and just say, Lord, we're available. How can we help people know about the resources? Because actually the Planned Parenthood is about 50 feet from, or 50 yards, I don't know, it's up the hill. It's close to the parking lot here. But the women who come to the Planned Parenthood don't know that all of these resources that the churches have contributed to is just up the hill. Who is going to help them know? Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a gap there, because they're trying not, the Planned Parenthood's not going to tell them. Mm-hmm. They don't rejoice when someone chooses life. Anyway, it's a little, I'll stop talking. Set a guard over my lips, oh Lord.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's your step. I just wish she was a little more passionate about it.
Yeah, right. Well, as we close out our time, you guys have seen, if you have sermon notes with you, there's three sections that the ministry that they're involved in, some of the challenges, the obstacles that are there. And then at the bottom, there's three ways that we as a body, we as a church, can partner with them in prayer. So if you have your pencils, if you have your pens, I want you to write these down, because this is an important, we are co-workers in the gospel with them. This is what 3 John says, that we are co-laborers with them in this. And so this is not just David and Julie's ministry, but it's our ministry together. And this is a way that we can be with you and being supporting you in this. There's a story in the Old Testament where Moses the people of Israel are fighting the battle, and whenever Moses got weak, his hands went down, and the army of the Lord was losing. The Israelites were losing, And so it was Aaron and Joshua that would have to hold up Moses' arms for him. And so we as a church feel like we are your Aaron and Joshua, holding up your arms through prayer through this important ministry. So again, get out your pencils. If you don't have a copy of the notes, I think that there is more in the back. Don't feel embarrassed. Kirby is there in the back. If you just want to raise your hand and grab a copy, he can be readily available for you. So share those top three. I'm sure you have probably dozens, but limit to three. Three top prayer requests that we can partner you with you in prayer.
Well, I think, as I said, the first thing is depth for us, that we are protected, we are continuing to grow and staying healthy, our relationship with our kids, because the Chinese really, all internationals, they really watch your family, and they think we're perfect, and we tell them, oh no, you just need to get to know us better. And I think that's true for a lot of families. You know, you really don't know somebody until you get to know them, and it's just helpful to be humble and transparent. I think the second thing is we would ask you to pray for our daughter, Jubilee, as she's the last one at home, and we really want her to thrive, and she's so gifted, but she's very quiet. She's unlike a stickle, who is very vivacious and outgoing, and, you know, we're very tall. We've all played basketball, and she did play. She did play, and it's amazing to see this little girl get out there and mix it up with girls, but she did it because she just loved being involved with these young ladies on the team. So she really has friendships that she tracks. And, you know, internationals see, especially our Indian friends, they see relationships so differently than we do. Mm-hmm. We see acquaintances and friendships. But they, like with the family that we know in New York City, they expect us to stay with them every time. Because you're family, David. We want you to stay. And then we have to eat that old Indian food. Oh, my goodness. It's just...
it's great, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
The best food in the world.
Yeah. And then I think the last thing would be just that the Chinese fellowship is getting back. We really want to see that thriving again. And the English class where I've been... we really want that to be something that continues to draw people from the community, and we just are very thankful for the privilege that we have. You know, seminar here today, it's not having to be translated. When I speak to the Chinese fellowship, everything has to be translated, so it's been fun to be able to listen fast, because I'll fill all the time, but it's something that transforms our own lives, and it's not something that we can just put on autopilot. We have to keep depending on God, and we're very thankful for that.
Yeah. 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 Well, thank you so much, David. Thank you for being here. Well, thank you for sharing your heart with us. And so we love you guys, and we continue to pray for you. And if there's anything that you guys need, we want to be able to be on the front lines with you in that. So thank you so much.
Do you want me to share anything else? Presentation? Do you want me to do that?
If you have anything else, yeah, that would be great.
I'll be very brief, but this is one of the presentations I share with as far as the gospel, and I'll keep it brief because I know you're probably thinking, oh, I'm getting hungry. What time is it anyway? Are we about?
It's 11:30.
Okay.
You're good.
I learned this from a gentleman who was from Iran, and he lived in half his life in the UK and then his half his life here. His name is Nate Mirza. Nate taught this to us, and I've used it for many years, and I don't have ability to draw it on an overhead or something, but I think you can follow it. It's kind of and I use this for internationals, steps to knowing God. And there are like several stages that each person can go through. Sometimes you don't go through that particular stage, but the first one is agnostic. You know, you put a dot on a line, a timeline. Some people are agnostic, some aren't. You know, I don't know if God exists. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. The next dot would be bitter. Someone's upset at God because something's happened in their life, parents' life, and they're very angry at God for some reason. The next one, a few stages over, and it's going this way, so each person, you know, you're getting closer to God, is... you know, uninterested. I mean, I'm just not interested in God right now. That's understandable. The next one's curious. I'm curious. If there is a God, I'd be willing to expose myself to see what he's like, if he's there. The next one would be an M for misinformed. You've been told a certain thing, that if you're always good all your life, that you'll go to heaven, or if you give lots of money to charity, or you all these things, you're misinformed. And that's a step. You're going this way. And the last one would be seeker. Someone who's actively pursuing, seeking, what does it mean to have a relationship with God? Now, in this illustration, so I have those lined up and those dots there. Then there's a space right here, and on this side is a triangle that says God, you have that relationship with him on his terms. And so you have a gap, and you draw in the cross in that gap, and you share one verse of scripture, because you don't want to overwhelm. And that's 1 Peter 3:18. For God gave his, what does it say? Let's see. Oh boy, I know I was going to do this. 1 Peter 3:18.
That's why I bring my Bible here.
For Christ died for sin. Thank you. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Isn't that a beautiful picture from this side over there? For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. That says it all. That's the gospel. You may be here today that you've never embraced the Savior. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel, that you think, I'm on this. It's not a problem if you're back here on this direction, but you don't want to stay there. You want to be right with God, but it's on his terms. And that cross is the bridge that brings us. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, you and me, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Now, end of the story. Years ago, I was part of a ministry there in Oklahoma City when we first got married in Norman. And Jim and Jerry White were leading that ministry as well. And Jim would speak. And we had, during this time when the church was in session in the main meeting hall, we were in a back classroom. And we had probably, 65, 75 scholars. And there was one lady once. I started to say her name, but I won't. But she just, in all seriousness and as humbly and as sincere as she could say, her face was contorted. And Jim had just spoken about the virgin birth, the Immaculate Conception. And she looked at him, and all these are mainly Chinese scholars. And she said, Jim, you're an intelligent man. You mean to tell me you actually believe that someone can get pregnant without having the intercourse? And he said, yes. He said, Jim, that's scientifically impossible. He said, I know. I know. She said, you can't be serious. He said, I am. And he said, everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Do you know 13? You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'll say it again. You will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Again, if you're here and you just wonder, how could this be true? It just doesn't make sense. Just push that aside. Seek his face. God, if you're there, if you know me as you say you do, call me, call my name, show me. He's faithful, and he will. It may take some time. He may do it differently than anybody that you've ever heard of, because he loves you, and he has a passion for you, and all he wants is to reveal himself, because he has more of a desire and a love for you than you do for him. Amen. So much he sent his son Jesus to pay that price.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. Let me... end with a word of prayer. If I just pray over you, pray over Julie and the ministry there. So,
thank you, brother.
Father, what a privilege it is that you allow us to partner together, that we have a unity together, that you have brought David and Julie in our midst. And we ask that you would continue to bless them, continue to cause them to bear much fruit, God. Allow David and Julie to really abide in you, because apart from you, they can do nothing. So would you draw near to them, give them strength. Lord, they are jars of clay. You've put this ministry, you've put this gospel in a jar of clay. And so you have to take care of it. You have to preserve David. Give strength when he is weak. Give strength to Julie when she is weak, as she serves as well. Lord, we pray for Jubilee in this next season of life for her. Would you bless her? Would you allow her to thrive in this new world that she's going to be experiencing coming up? And all this, the things that she has learned growing up in the faith, Lord, that she would be used mightily by you. And there's a big ministry, a big plans that you have for her in her coming days. And Lord, we do pray for the Chinese church. Would you bless them? Lord, we know that there are many sheep that are not of this fold, and we ask that you would send out laborers into that harvest. Send out laborers to the Chinese church and strengthen them and uplift them, and send out more laborers that they may know you, the one true God. And Lord, those who are seeking after you, Lord, would you, as David said, would you call them by name, and would they know you? Would they have a relationship with you? You are the God of all grace, the God of all mercy. And so allow them to see your love, your magnificent love for them, and that they would be called as your sons and your daughters. So do this, Lord, all for your name's sake, for the glory of Christ, we pray. And it's his name we pray. Amen.